News with Nick, March 30th, 2017, 6 a.m. in the morning. We are back here. It's only been 3 months since I took over the seat of the News with Nick studios. Actually, I've sat in this seat a ton of times, just not doing news, if you know what I mean. Well, maybe it'd be news to someone. The point is, it's been 3 months, and the reason for that is stupid. It's that I was tired of Trump, basically. And his news. So you head on over to CNN.com, right? And it goes, it looks like it's going to get even worse for Trump. With possible shutdown and a Russian investigation looming, this road ahead could be grim for Trump. Then you head on over to Fox News, and it goes, could be grim for Hillary. I'm just kidding. North Carolina lawmakers to vote on repeal of the bathroom bill. The gay rights advocates slammed the deal. Okay, cool. So we're still 3 to 6 to 8 months before, after we talked about it, still dealing with bathroom bill stuff. Boring. I'm so done with Trump. I mean, he's great. I'm just done with the news about Trump. And then the other thing was, if I ever got the wherewithal or the emotional fortitude to get up in the morning to do a show, I instead just went to the gym. As you can see by looking at my buys. Speaking of which, if you're not watching the video version of the show, it is being recorded. Hopefully the levels are not completely unlistenable. And if you're a member of the PCL, which you must be, if you're hearing this, I hope, head on over to the PCL, check the post, and the video version will be posted there. Now, I may just put it on my own YouTube channel, though. What do you guys think of that? It is so dark in here. Speaking of the video version, maybe I should... Hang on. Yeah, I think we're going to have to go with that. It really lights the background a little bit too much, but... Okay, we're going to go with that. Let's see. Do we have anyone in the chat? Join the chat, though. That's cool. That's a better way to talk. All right. Going on over to the biggest news of this week was the... On March 22, 2017, a terrorist attack took place in the vicinity of the Palace of Westminster in London, seat of the British Parliament. The attacker, 52-year-old Briton Khalid Massoud, deliberately drove a car into pedestrians on the pavement along the north side of the Westminster Bridge and Bridge Street, injuring more than 50 people, three of them fatally. After the car crashed into the perimeter fence at the palace grounds, Massoud abandoned it and ran into the new palace yard, where he fatally stabbed an unarmed police officer. First of all, that's what you get for being unarmed, I suppose. I have no arms! And then shot by an armed officer and died at the scene. The attack lasted 82 seconds. What a short terrorist attack. Police stated Massoud had an interest in jihad, but they had found no motive nor any link with any known terrorist organization. Boringest terrorist attack ever. He didn't even say... I'm doing it for Allah. So, let's see. I'm looking at a map here. He is on the bridge. Multiple fatalities and injuries as the car drives into... So he drove up like on the sidewalk or whatever? Well, it's okay. Anyone who's on a bridge wants to kill themselves anyway. They just throw themselves over the edge. All right. Chatters, write in if the stream audio is horrible. I don't know what to do, though. Because I screwed with it so many times, I got to turn up the mic on the stream part. And turn it down on the so it'll go on the recording correctly. Otherwise, the recording just looks horrible. So okay, and here's a picture of the terrorist, guys. Isn't that funny? It's Trump. He's driving into the audience. Into the audience. Oh, so the other day, my coat rack. I moved in like 4 years ago to this house, right? Like, I gotta put a coat rack up. So I get these anchors and screws, and I drill them into the wall, and I hang it up, and I go, wow, I did a real bad job. I think that thing's going to fall in like a week. 4 years later, it finally fell. We put like 20 coats on it at once, and it fell off the wall. Got it back up, though. That's a good story. Okay. Man and woman. Man, comma, woman. A man-woman sentenced for terrorizing partygoers with the Confederate flag. A judge sentenced two people to prison Monday for their involvement in a confrontation at a child's birthday party that involved weapons and a Confederate flag. In July 2015, just weeks after the Charleston Church Massacre, which was the one with that guy with the hair, he walked in and he shot a bunch of blacks and he said, "I killed him, I guess," to the cops. We played audio of him, I believe, last show. A large group of people drove up to a birthday party in Douglasville in Texas, flying American military and Confederate flags, so they're in their redneck trucks. About 15 people, several pointing guns, were riding through town that day with a group called Respect the Flag. The child's mother said the group walked up to her property and threatened her family. Now, here's some video.
That is a threat! That is a threat!
Oops, gotta go back a little bit. So it's just very loud trucks, and they've got their flags waving, and are they holding guns out the window? You can't really tell in this video, but they're just driving by a kid's birthday party going, you're black, you suck. Take these flags and guns. So now, let's head on over and get some audio from her in court. And the people who are being sentenced are very, very upset.
Only for her role in what happened that night when that convoy of pickup trucks with people carrying Confederate flags and shotguns pulled up to their home and pointed weapons at the children and the other people at the party. Here's what she said.
I do accept responsibility for what I've done. I know I was in the wrong. She's very sad.
But I want you all to know that that is not me. That is not me. That's not him. I would never walk up to you and say those words to you.
She turned to the black family. She's like, "It was not me." Or I'm sure she's saying, like, "It was me. Like, it was my body, but I'm sorry. That's not who I am, right? I would never walk up to you and say those things." Although she is saying, "I'm so sorry that that happened to you," is she really sitting in court going, it totally wasn't me, it was someone else that looked exactly like me?
I forgive you. You can't forgive all of you. I'm not a man.
Hayesha Bryant is this black woman's name, and she goes, "I forgive all of you." Well, anyway, did it say how long they were sentenced? Oh, a judge sentenced Torres to 20 years in prison with 13 to serve. Norton was sentenced to 15 years in prison with 6 to serve. Was Norton the girl? Why is it the girls always get less? Because they can't wave the guns as fast? The velocity of your gun waving was lower. Therefore, your sentence will be. So that's that. That happened quite a while ago, but interesting. If you drive by a kid's party with flags and guns, you are going down. All right, we've got a bunch of people who have decided. So first of all, if you just go on over, actually, I'm not going to give away my, yeah, whatever. If you guys go on over to the news and you just search for Columbine style, you just get a ton of good hits. Everyone's a Columbine style, even if it's not. This is of my birth town, actually. Two students at East Side High School were arrested on charges of making terrorist threats on Tuesday after they allegedly talked about engaging in a Columbine-style attack against teachers at their former elementary school, authorities said. Police searched the students' homes on Tuesday and found no weapons. Okay. But they were detained and arrested based on statements they had made during the past week. The youths, one male and one female, had attended the new Roberto Clemente school, which was the alleged target of their talks in the attack. The Patterson police director, Jeff Specialese, said detectives in the juvenile division were notified about the threats on Tuesday. It was determined to be a valid threat. So it doesn't say how they were notified. Were they sitting in band class going, "You know what would be cool if we shot this school to smithereens?" Confirmed that terrorist threat charges were filed against the youths. The principal, blah, 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 convened an emergency meeting of school staff on Tuesday afternoon. Let's see what happened. Okay, let's see if we can get some more info. Uh-oh. Gotta refresh this to get the video to play, maybe. Maybe it won't even play. Get Adobe Flash Player. Isn't that fascinating? Allow? Are we good? Thank you, Chrome, for that.
New at noon, two New Jersey high school students are facing charges after allegedly threatening to carry out a terror attack against another school in the district. CBS News' Janelle Borelli is live at school in Patterson with more. Janelle.
Well, Mary and Chris, the two students...
Oh, my God. It's like the shooting is happening right now. Do you hear the
background? Two New Jersey high school students are facing charges after allegedly threatening to carry out a terror attack against another school in the district. CBS News' Janelle Borelli is live at school in Patterson with more. Janelle.
Well, Mary and Chris, the two students charged are former students here at the new Roberto Clemente School here in Patterson. They apparently were in the early stages of planning what they hoped would be a Columbine-style attack before they were intercepted. The threat directed toward a specific teacher here at the new
Ooh, that's new info. And why is everything Columbine style? If there's two people with a gun in a school, is it Columbine style? If there's one person with a gun in a school, is it Columbine style? Columbine style is more than just walking into a school with guns. These people don't even know. Bum, bum, Columbine style.
Roberto Clemente School. School district administrators confirming that two students, a girl and boy from nearby Eastside High School, have been arrested and are now facing charges for making terroristic threats as well as conspiracy. Parents and relatives of students here are alarmed. So I'm sure you're...
Oh, good. We're going to... Okay. This is my favorite part of any news story.
Probably glad that they found out about this before anything happened.
Yeah, I'm pretty glad that they found out about it.
Okay.
Yeah, because you know, you keep...
No, I'm not. I wish that there was a shooting so I could get some of that lawsuit money.
Keeping the school safe, you're keeping the community safe.
School safety officers were tipped off about the threat Monday, triggering an internal investigation by school authorities.
It doesn't say who. It doesn't say what. Were they talking on Facebook? I don't get it. I'm very upset. I hate the news.
Who told us in a statement proper protocols were followed, which included notifying the Patterson Police Department, the school's...
I'm skipping ahead.
...and City Councilman Luis Velez after he toured the Clemente School this morning.
Skipping ahead again.
The officers?
I think they need more.
We're done. We're done. All right. 14 and 15-year-old kid arrested for Columbine-style threatening. Oh, there's another of the same one. Okay. Maryland student arrested for plotting Columbine-style attack. Completely separate. Completely separate. Nicole Savario's journal was not your typical high school diary. Rather than writing about schoolwork or personal relationships, the 18-year-old allegedly detailed her plans for a Columbine-style mass shooting at her Maryland high school. This name of this show is going to be Columbine-style. It's not, but, you know, it could be. Officials are convinced that these plans might have come to fruition if one of her parents hadn't told school officials about them. The Frederick County Sheriff's Office said police searched her home and found a shotgun with ammunition as well as materials for making pipe bombs, including pipes, shrapnel, which could be nails and screws. Maybe she's doing a school. Maybe she's doing like a woodworking project. Fireworks. Maybe she's doing a woodworking project. Magnesium tape and fuse material. Maybe she's making candles. There's no doubt in our mind that we averted a disaster here. I've never seen anything like this, to be honest with you. So, here's another video.
Accused of amassing an arsenal, including a Remington 870 pump shotgun, fireworks, and nails, which police believe would be used to make pipe bombs.
Certainly she had the intent, the material, the means, and we believe it was going to happen.
In a twist that has left this small, tightly knit community reeling, police say the 18-year-old's plans were thwarted by her own father, who discovered her plot and turned her in to police before she could carry it out next week.
The father saw some behavioral changes over a period of time. For whatever reason, he looked into her journal or her diary. He reported that to the school authorities and my deputies basically at the same time.
Police discovered the weapons in the family's home. The sheriff here says the plans seemed advanced. He says Severio mentioned the Columbine and Sandy Hook school massacres in her diary and that she had recorded details of the school's emergency procedures.
I want this girl's journal. I looked it up. It is not published. It probably won't be for quite a while. It's probably in evidence. So let's skip ahead and see if there's any more info.
Washington, there's a sense of disbelief.
She was always a...
Ooh, yes, 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 yes.
Really funny, sweet person. You would never think that...
Hey, two kids. This guy's... Look at that guy. He is so cool. That guy to the left who's not talking, he's like, yeah, I averted a shooting. and then this bus is going by. Hey, guys, come over here and talk to the news while the buses leave.
You would never think that it would be her to do something like this.
Like, I knew something was up with her, but I would have never imagined that it was this bad.
What? I knew something was up with her? I think she might be a lesb.
Bad.
County school spokesman Michael Dorer says there was nothing unusual in Severio's
I need to see if this girl is fat or not. How? You never hear of a girl plotting Columbine style. So we gotta see. She has to be a lesb, right?
Disciplinary record. Were there any signs of bullying, emotional issues, relationship issues with this student?
We had no indication whatsoever that there are any issues with this student.
But the sheriff said
that, according to my lawyer, this is what I should say. We had no indication that there were any issues.
As her diary tells a different story.
You could read the frustration, the emotional issues, the emotional problems she was having, talking about how she could conduct this shooting, the fact that she may have been the first female active school shooter in the country.
Tonight.
Wow, she was going for it, too. She's like, I'm going to break that glass. Not the glass ceiling. I'm just going to break the glass of being the first female school shooter. Unbelievable.
There's sincere gratitude toward a father who had to make an excruciating decision to turn in his own daughter in order to save other people's children.
It had to be a very agonizing decision. It's a decision I'm sure no parent would ever want to make. But
wow, that is amazing. She's amazing. I wish this had happened. Well, wait. Okay, well, luckily nobody could hear that if you haven't subscribed to the PCL. I don't wish that had happened. My official stance is actually that I wish that had happened. Newswithnick.com? Or whatever. Now I gotta set that up. Great. Said that. Okay. Next top. Okay. What are we doing? Here's a quick one. Speedy execution pace is unconstitutional, Arkansas inmates claim in a new lawsuit. 8 men on death row in Arkansas who are all scheduled to be executed in a 10-day span fought for their lives on Monday in a federal complaint claiming that the breakneck pace was cruel and unusual and threatened violations of their right to counsel. So, why does Arkansas plan to execute a historic number of inmates in a span of 10 days? I'll let you guess. I'm guessing that they've got to contract out this killing and they get a group discount if they do 8. They flight them in. They're like, all right, we're going to spend 10 days in the days in. And we're going to do an execution a day, getting up to 6, going in. Man, what happens the day you go in for an execution? You grab your coffee, right? You're 10 minutes late. You're like, oh, traffic. Sorry, guys. And like, yeah, how you doing, Joe? He's like, yeah, not bad for a Monday. Oh, all right. Okay, let's go execute. Jesus. The state government of Arkansas plans to execute 8 men over a period of 10 days in April because one of the key drugs in their lethal injection protocol is set to expire at the end of the month. Arkansas governor set the dates between April 17th and April 27th and will require the state's Department of Correction to execute 2 men per day with a few days between each lethal injection. As required by law, I have set the execution dates for the 8 convicted of capital murder. So what? I don't know. Is it like Walter White where someone called up the judge and they're like, Jesse, the methylamine, the lethal injection drug, it's gonna expire. We need to kill. Inject. We need to inject now. Set the dates. I can't believe that. He added that the executions are placed so closely together because the availability of the drugs for future lethal injections was unclear. On March 8th, Arkansas acquired the final drug needed to execute the 8 inmates under the execution protocols used by that state. This is the dumbest process ever. Everyone trying to kill people is like, we can't get the drug. We can't find it. Oh, we finally found it. Okay, it probably came like in this weird cardboard box. There's probably peanuts all in it. It's like, oh, dig out the drug. And one of them spilled. Like, ah, the drug spilled. Don't get it on me. There's ants in it. Like, okay, bring the drugs to the execution chamber. It's all dusty because they haven't used it for 17 years. Oh, it's going to go bad in a month. We got to throw a bunch of people into this. So basically, they sit on death row until they can find the drug. Unbelievable. Arkansas uses a 3-drug protocol in its lethal injection procedure. The first drug, blah, blah, blah. You guys know the deal. You know, The first drug makes you laugh. The second drug makes you cry. The third drug makes you die, right? So you can feel all the emotions right before your doom. Experts, however, point out that midazolam, a drug set to expire April 30th, has sometimes failed to effectively knock out the subjects.
Ugh.
Wow. Okay. So anyway, the point is that's why they're doing it, and now they're suing. The suit challenges the execution schedule, said federal public defender John Williams, who represents three of the inmates. It's an unprecedented act, and we think the pace of the schedule puts our clients at unnecessary risk. The complaint states that the execution set by the governor denies each of the inmates effective counsel, especially since Hutchinson announced the intense schedule on February 27th, providing defense attorneys less than 60 days to prepare. Lawyers who represent people on death row typically have a nearly insurmountable workload, even when they only have one client. Okay, so yeah, it's like we're going to rush them all to doom right away, and we want to... I've never seen anything like this, not even Columbine, the chat says. Well, that guy, that particular cop, probably wasn't at Columbine. Sorry, I lost my place. So yeah, they're rushing a bunch of people all in at once, and the lawsuit says, we can't do that. So I was thinking the other day about this corporate challenge I talked about at the last show. And then, so I get in Monday, and we start going over, hey guys, how'd we do, how'd you like the corporate challenge? We know how we did. We won. We beat the other team. And then I start going, like, start listening, and they're like, it's a good thing that we accidentally, on purpose, lost Tessa's score sheet, or else we would have lost. And I go, what do you mean you lost Tessa's score sheet? She's like, well, she didn't do so well at the climbing wall, so we lost her score sheet, and someone else had to climb in her place. And I go, we cheated? And now I'm like that dad with the daughter shooter, and I've got to decide, am I going to grab that corporate challenge cup and deliver it to the correct team? Or am I going to let us accept the cup as a bunch of cheaters? So apparently we had a couple girls do the climbing wall. We had Cecilia and we had Tessa, and both of them kind of sucked. And now Cecilia is very short and a little on the rounder side. So she couldn't pull herself up the climbing wall. This other girl, I don't know what her problem was, but apparently she tried to do the climbing wall, and the way it was scored is how many bells you can get rung. Like, if you go up one, you get one. If you go up another, you get two. If you go up another, you get three, whatever. So apparently she went up one and got one and then failed. So minimum points, right? So they wrote her score sheet down, and then we're like, guys, what if we just tear this thing up and throw it into a diaper bag? And so it literally got thrown into a diaper bag, apparently. And then we went, oops, we lost the score sheet. I guess we're going to have someone else climb for us, right, government? They were the worst referees ever anyway. So apparently we cheated at the corporate challenge to win. That's wonderful. And then, I was just fiddling with this bracelet of beads, and I just dropped them all over the floor because the thing broke. Uh-oh. Oh, well. Okay. And then I was thinking about the kids there, because there was this other incident that during dodgeball, one of our people, like, threw a ball as hard as he could, and it, like, bounced off a kid's face, and he was all stunned. He's like, oh, I'm a kid. I got stunned by an adult's ball. And everyone's going, I can't believe you could hit that kid in the face. And I keep going, I can't believe that kid was there. Why are there kids there? It's the corporate challenge. Is that kid working for a corporation? No. Am I allowed to go? I'm not saying you can't be a kid. You're allowed to be a kid. I was a kid. You can't help it if you're a kid. Go have fun in kid ways. Am I allowed to go during my lunch break, head on over to the elementary school and go like, all right, kids, recess. Let's play some Foursquare. And then I like beat them all at Foursquare. No, I'm not allowed to do that. Well, actually, I haven't tried. I wonder what would happen if I did. I pay for this Foursquare. I can't do that, assume allegedly. Why are they allowed to come to my event and ruin that? So if I went to their Foursquare event, that would ruin the fun because they're not playing against people who are their same skill level. But a bunch of kids come to my corporate event, and all of a sudden, I have to let them play because they're kids. They're someone's kids. Nick, be nice. It's a friendly game of volleyball. No, it's not. I mean, it is. But if you want to be so friendly, stop putting kids in there. They're ruining my event, right? I'm sacrificing my day and 12 years of my life working there just to have volleyball. They shouldn't be allowed. But it's rude. It's mean to say kids are not allowed somewhere. It's perfectly acceptable to say adults are not allowed on the four-square court during recess. I think that this is adultism. And frankly, they're ruining my life. Can't be doing that. Former Dallas Cowboy Michael Irvin accused of a sexual battery. Former Cowboys wide receiver Michael Irvin is being investigated in the sexual assault of a woman in a Florida hotel. This is news breaking, I believe it's yesterday. His attorney says they categorically deny the allegation. Police confirmed that the 51-year-old Hall of Fame wide receiver was named in a sexual battery report that says the incident took place at a hotel on March 22nd. TMZ reported. TMZ? Let's head on over to TMZ and see if they've got more information, because they normally do. That law enforcement sources said a 27-year-old Florida woman filed a police report alleging she and Irvin went back to his room at a W hotel after a night out at the bar. I wonder, if you're a woman, how do you meet Michael Irvin? You're like, hey, Mike. I mean, obviously you're super sexy, right? But even if you are, it's Michael Irvin. He's not just sitting at the bar, most likely, waiting for girls to come up. In the report, she said she started to feel sick, and the last thing she remembers was fighting Irvin off. When she woke up, she said Irvin was checking out, and then she took an Uber home. She then called police to tell them she feared she had been drugged and raped. She was advised to go to the medical lab for a swab and blood test, which she did. She said she later texted Irvin and asked whether they had sex. He responded by saying he wouldn't do anything to hurt her. Okay, can we see these texts? Because that would be the best. Let's check out TMZ. Michael Irvin's being investigated. The woman says they were in Michael's room. She feels sick. It's the exact same text. It was just copy and pasted from TMZ. Our sources say Michael, now an analyst for NFL Network, tells a very different story. He says he was out at the bar with a group of people, including the woman, until around 4:30 a.m. on March 21st, when he returned to his hotel and she followed. Michael says he had an early flight, was in the room for only 15 minutes, and had no sexual contact with the woman. He also says another male was present. Irvin's lawyer says Michael was in Fort Lauderdale visiting, blah, blah, blah. The allegations are completely false. In the few hours since we've learned about them, we've already discovered many red flags about this young woman's background. So it's probably fake. It's probably fake. But these headlines are not good for him, and not really fair. The only evidence that this happened is that the girl said, we were together, and I felt sick and got drugged, right? All right, we are going to head on over to the lightning round now. This is the part of the show where I do a bunch of stories in a row. We've got five of them. Police say a Pennsylvania man who doesn't know how to swim jumped in and rescued a boy from drowning in a pool at a New Jersey hotel. Fairfield police say Patterson's in the news a lot today. Patterson woman and a male companion were in the pool at the La Quinta Inn Thursday with her five children, who range in age of 1 to 9. Police say none of them knew how to swim, including the mom and the dad. A 9-year-old boy went underwater. Here, kids, get in the pool. Nobody knows how to swim. So the companion ran to the front desk to ask for help around 6:40, running like, my kid's underwater. Like, so get him out. No, I can't. Police say the 37-year-old Randolph DeJazz Perez was checking in. Wait, there's another guy? Teja Perez, who doesn't know how to swim either? There's another guy who doesn't know how to swim? Wait, Patterson woman and a male companion. Yeah, it doesn't name the male companion. The male companion runs to the front desk. There happens to be another guy checking in, and he goes, I don't know how to swim either, but whatever, I'm going in. Anyone who has a fear of water and is not comfortable swimming can truly appreciate the bravery displayed by this hero guest who conquered his own fears to save the young life of another. All of us in our... What is it with people? Is it a New Jersey thing? no one, like, the parents don't know how to swim, and there's their guest that randomly doesn't know how to swim. And most likely, the check-in lady at the front desk doesn't know how to swim either. Because there would be a check-in person, right, too. And they'd be like, I don't know, that's not my, your kid's drowning. That, I don't know why I'm doing this accent. Your kid's drowning? Not my problem. I need to run this credit card so this guy can check in. Unbelievable. All right. Facebook to let you flag suicidal people. So this is stemming, well, maybe not exactly stemming, but there was an event where a black girl, I believe darker skinned, had Facebook Live her own hanging. So that's pretty sad. Facebook added a suicide prevention tool to its live video service on Wednesday in hopes of bringing real-time help to users who may harm themselves while broadcasting on the social media platform. The new Facebook Live tools will allow users to report dangerous behavior and suicidal comments directly to Facebook, which will then intervene with help. How? Who knows? The social media giant also rolled out a new suicide prevention tool for its messaging app, as well as an artificial intelligence-assisted reporting for posts. So, are robots going to be reading your posts? And if it goes, I'm very sad, I'm facing the dark abyss of being alone, it'll flag them. If a Facebook user recording live video makes a suicidal comment, suggests self-harm, or does anything else that may make his or her audience worry, viewers will be able to flag the video. From there, Facebook will send resources to the Facebook user recording the video, including the options to contact a helpline. Oh no! So you're recording live, right? And then all of a sudden it starts popping up. Reach out to a friend or read materials about suicide prevention. What if it's just like, here's some pictures of cats and dogs. Please be happy again. You have been identified as possibly suicidal. Please affix your eyes to these happy images until you feel the adequate level of satisfaction with your life. The company will use AI to identify posts that may contain suicidal messages, then create the option to flag them as such more prominent. The same AI robots can read and report posts on their own, allowing Facebook staffers to reach out to users who may need help, even if a human hasn't reported the content. So, Facebook workers are now anti-suiciders. And so if you want to look into this more, there's more info on it, but this is the lightning round, so we are going to move on. And it is taking me a little bit to pull up each one because I didn't have them prepped because I'm an idiot. Who is Gordon Douglas Chalmers, a university professor who posed as a fake Justin Bieber, charged with child exploitation offenses? University lecturer, blah, 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 allegedly posed as Justin Bieber to encourage children to send him explicit pictures. He's been charged with hundreds of sex offenses, including rape and possessing indecent images of children. 157 alleged victims around the world, and up to 20 are believed to be in the UK. He's a law lecturer. So, apparently, there's not much information on this. All it says is he's been charged with 931 child sex offenses after duping kids into sending naked pics. He used Facebook and Skype to contact young fans of Justin Bieber. The Queensland law lecturer was arrested in November last year after a tip-off from German and U.S. authorities that led police to his home. At the time, cops opposed the bail, blah, blah, blah. They cited fears his rapacious appetite for contacting children lead him to commit further offenses. So what did he do? He signed up Justin Bieber 2281340 at Skype.com, and then he would, what, contact people? But did he have a video? Did he have, because he doesn't look like Justin Bieber. It would make way more sense if you were an actual Justin Bieber impersonator and you could be like, yeah, baby, I'm Justin Bieber. But no, he just looks like a bald man who's 42 or even older. So what does he write to the kid? He's like, I'm Justin Bieber, I'll prove it. And then he goes on cam and he plays a video of Justin Bieber that he has on his computer, because you could fake that. You could fake a cam easy. And then what? He's like, hey, but how did he get Justin Bieber to go, hey, baby, send me some naked pics of your 14-year-old body, yeah, thought you'd always be mine, baby. I don't know. Good story. Well, Hopefully that guy gets out of jail soon so we can see some more from him. Mom let toddler handle gun before he killed 9-year-old brother. A 9-year-old boy shot in the head by his 2-year-old brother with their mother's handgun is dead. The mother told police that she had previously let the toddler handle the gun when it wasn't loaded. Landon Lavarnia was declared dead at the hospital. Oh, that's the kid. Phoenix police spokesman said. The mother, whose name is Wendy Lavarnia, 28, told police she had put her loaded gun on the bed within reach of her 2-year-old and 4-year-old sons while she turned to get a holster. That's when the 2-year-old grabbed the gun. So she turns her back, 2-year-old grabs the gun and shot her 9-year-old son, who was playing video games a few feet away. Well, that sucks. So, point of the story is don't let your kids play with your guns, even if they're unloaded, because then they learn that it's a toy, right? And then when it actually is loaded, they will take it and shoot either their brother or their dad or whatever. What if the kid was in on it? Like, hey, the mom's like, I don't want this 9-year-old anymore. Hey, 2-year-old, you want that video game? Learn to use this gun. That's crazy. Wouldn't a gun fly out of a kid's hand? I guess it would. I guess it doesn't matter. It probably did, though. It's like, psh. How can a 2-year-old even lift a gun? A man. What the heck? I'm looking at this story, and it's a story about. I'm going to read it in a second, but there's just a picture of Trump on the front. I don't even think it's about Trump. He's just. The caption of the post is U.S. President Donald Trump attends a meeting about healthcare. A man who allegedly tweeted an animated strobe image to a journalist with epilepsy has been arrested and charged with cyberstalking. The flashing image sent to Kurt Ickewald, a Newsweek senior writer, blah, 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 came with a message, you deserve a seizure for your post. So he didn't like what he wrote, so he tweets the guy a flashing image on the computer and says, you deserve a seizure. Mr. Ickewald said the image did trigger a seizure, and then he sought to identify the person who sent it. After 3 months, is that real? Does a flashing image really trigger seizures? I think that's fake. After a 3-month investigation, police arrested John Rain Ravello, 29, on Friday. The Twitter account belonging to him allegedly contained direct messages sent to other users regarding the reporter. They included statements like, spammed this at the victim, let's see if he dies, and I know he has epilepsy. Investigators also reportedly found screenshots from an epilepsy website with a list of commonly reported epilepsy seizure triggers and a story from the Dallas News about his efforts to subpoena Twitter to track down the user who sent the image. Wow. Mr. Ekenwald tweeted that more than 40 people sent strobes once they found out they could trigger seizures. He wrote, stop sending them. That's going to work on the internet. Please stop sending me things that will kill me. That is weird. Apparently you can be arrested for sending someone a picture. Well, I guess you can be arrested for sending someone a picture if it's a picture of, you know, a flashing thing, I guess, but a different kind of flashing, if you know what I mean. That concludes the lightning round. Okay, we are 40 minutes in. We are kind of flying through this stuff, but we're good because the last couple of things. We have several things to cover on it. So here is a great video I found. This is not necessarily news. It is, though, related to elevators. So there's this video that just got posted. It's just getting popular now. It got posted 2 weeks ago. Tourists at the Royalton overreacting and verbally abusing the staff. So before you even start the video, what you see here is a bunch of people huddled outside of an elevator door. And they're trying to pry it open. So let's see what could possibly be going on here.
No. When you come to the Royalton.
One more off.
The elevator gets stuck. I'm recording this and I'm posting this.
So someone's running with their camera, vertical video, following the family and yelling, I'm recording and posting this. And they're running toward a stairwell. So it appears what has happened is that the elevator has gotten stuck and that there is an 18-year-old on the elevator and a 6-year-old on the elevator, and the family of this 18 and 6-year-old are pissed.
Pull the fire alarm.
They're stuck in the elevator.
Pull it. Pull every fire alarm possible.
I am.
Pull it. Did you see fire alarm? Pull it. Pull alarm.
All right, they're running up the stairs. They're going to get to the fire alarm here. Do they pull it?
Go, break it.
Oh, they're up against the thing that says break the glass to pull the fire alarm.
There's no cameras, right?
Oh, there's no cameras, right? As you hold a camera.
There's no cameras, right? How do you break it?
At first, I was thinking, if I'm stuck in an elevator, I want this family saving me because they care so much. On the other hand, they got up to a fire alarm, went, how do you pull it, and then just gave up. Pull every fire alarm possible, I thought it was. But no, nah, all right, let's give up on that fire alarm.
Come on. Come on, guys.
Oh, I see. They ran up to the next level to find the elevator. Oh, they're going up and down the stairs to figure out where it's stuck. I see what's going on.
No, we're not worrying. It's not your fucking kids. We've been having problems with you fucking people. Fuck off.
Okay, so she's yelling at a worker. The worker is going, no, don't worry. Everything will be just fine. He's like, please do not break anything or pull all the fire alarms possible. Yep, he says, don't worry. And the lady goes, yeah, we're not worried. We hate you.
It's not your fucking kids. We've been having problems with you fucking people. Fuck off. Come on.
Yeah, you stand there.
She just stands there. She's just standing there. And he's just standing there. Come on.
Here's another worker. He either is a different worker or he just respawned. He teleported upstairs because they look the exact same.
Bust it open.
That's race.
Come on. Mikey was doing...
Okay, now they're up one more level. So now we're up two levels from when we started.
Go. It's being recorded, too. See, he's just standing there watching us. This is a... He works for the Royalton.
She's doing the thing that, cop watchers do, holding up the camera to the guy's face. And he's just standing here. This man he works for the Royalton.
Let you know.
All right, here we go.
This is how we have to do it. Because
they're gonna break it.
Who cares?
Okay, so they finally have found the level where they think the people are stuck inside the elevator. So now, six people all get around these elevator doors, and they start trying to pry them open with their bare fingertips.
Who cares?
Oh my god, there's this black, darker skinned lady in her too small dress for her body type, and she's bent over reaching into the elevator. You gotta look this up. Look up tourists at the Royalton overreacting and verbally abusing staff.
They're not doing nothing, look at this!
Look, he's just standing there. Go.
Be careful, be careful.
The worker's just going, be careful, be careful. Well yeah, if you break the elevator and then fall in, that's gonna be a bigger problem.
Right,
I'm gonna skip ahead. They're prying open the door and peeking inside and going, okay, we can see the elevator thing in there. So let's skip ahead to where they see if they actually break it open.
Do it.
No. What's on the right side? On the right side.
I just broke this fucking door, pussies. What?
Yeah. I think there's a guy inside the elevator yelling, I just broke this door, pussies.
What?
I
just broke this fucking door, pussies. What?
It's like in a video game when you know there's a bad guy on the other side of the door, and you're like, I really don't want to open this, but I have to. And then you're getting ready, you're like, oh, he's yelling through the door, let me out, let me out, let me out.
What? Get me out of this fucking thing.
Mikey, we're trying, man.
Oh, yeah, get me out of this thing. We're trying.
What? Get me out of this fucking thing. Mikey,
by the audio from... I'm sorry, I keep stopping it. The audio of this man from inside the elevator shaft is so crystal clear compared to the fact that he's in an elevator shaft and the camera is just a phone outside. Oh, no. I went back in the video. All right.
What? Get me out of this fucking thing.
Mikey, we're trying.
Oh, the door is broken. Okay, so now the door on the elevator is broken, and it's diagonal, and there's a little slot. And this is the part of the video where you go, no, do not climb out. It happens in every situation. You start climbing out, and as soon as you start climbing out, you know what happens. The elevator starts moving, and you are scissored. in the good way.
You're good.
He jumps out and he starts yelling at the worker.
This is a fucking
And there's a kid here crying like, oh, we were stuck in the elevator. Well, the kid is way more scared because the guy's yelling. If that guy wasn't just yelling constantly, I'm sure she'd be fine. Well, anyway, there's that. Next story. Not sure what this is all about, but here's the headline. Man swings horse's penis around in front of shocked teens in park before rubbing it in baby oil. This is from the mirror.co.uk. I'm pretty sure that's a real site. A man swung a horse's penis around in circles before rubbing it in baby oil in front of a group of teens in a packed-out park. Stephen Cuff was spurred on to carry out the lewd act after he approached the group in Cambridge and used the horse's tail as a beard. What? I know what they're trying to say. Like, he goes behind it, and he goes, look at me, I'm Santa. And he wears the, he puts the horse's tail up to his face, and it looks like a beard. Using the horse's tail as a beard. When he got some laughs from the group, is this like one of those guys who, you know, does like a little magic trick, and then some girl laughs, and he's like, ooh, I got 28 more magic tricks. He just doesn't stop because the attention is too much. When he got some laughs from the group, he decided to carry out the wholly inappropriate sexual act when he noticed the animal had become visibly excited. Oh. At first, he swung the horse's penis around in circles, and then he moved his hand up and down the horse's penis as if he was masturbating it, the court heard. The court heard, oh, he's in court. In his defense, the court heard Cuff told police that his son had noticed the horse's penis was in need of a clean, and he had put some baby oil on it and rubbed it to get the dirt off. Sorry about that. Why did he have baby oil in the park, though? And is baby oil good for that? Because if so, I'm carrying baby oil everywhere, but I didn't even know that that was a good... What is even baby oil? Like, do you have to oil your baby? I'm very shocked. I know of baby powder, I guess, so that's for the diaper. Huh. Do you, like, put it on their face so their face doesn't dry out? I don't know. I'm going to have to look this up later. I literally don't know what baby oil is for. In his defense, the court, blah, 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 sorry, the 54-year-old had been with a group of about five people on Jesus Green on May 8th, one of the hottest days of the year so far when the incident happened. He had been drinking that day, and he feared he may have been spiked, the court heard, like, you know, how Michael Irvin did. He was jailed for 4 months, suspended for 18 months after he admitted to one count of outraging public decency. So... a teenage girl who was with a large group of friends aged 16 to 17 first noticed Cuff while they were listening to music and enjoying the weather. Ah, listening to music. Guys. Guys, look over there. That penis is spinning in circles. She said she didn't know him, but the noticeable thing about him was the fact that he had a horse with him on Jesus Green. He came toward the group and started to sing and dance to the music they were listening to. It was clear, she said, he had been drinking or taking something. He was mumbling or swaying to the music. His eyes were all over the place. The court heard that after letting one of her group have a ride on the horse, he began leading the animal around and started playing with it. She said he made the beard a tail. Sorry. He made a beard with the tail, got some laughs. When the man noticed and went near the penis, despite the group's protest not to, he grabbed hold of the horse's penis and began to swing it in circles. I think I'm getting sick, guys. I had a sore throat last night. I had a sore throat this morning. People were shouting at him to stop. Stop, stop. The horse is like, no, don't stop. Don't stop, please. That's great. When interviewed by police after the incident, Cuff said that his son had noticed, we're going in circles. How many times are they going to say the exact same thing? Well, whatever. So there's that. Rub baby oil on a horse. Okay. We've got a big story here. This is a big thing coming out of... That is a good question. I don't know. 15-year-old Elizabeth Thomas, authorities believe, has been kidnapped by a former teacher. And there's video of it that was published Sunday in a new effort to help find the Tennessee girl. The roughly one-minute video was posted by the Wayne County Now includes the first published recording of Elizabeth's voice since she vanished on March 13th with her former forensics teacher, Tad Cummins. Oh, well, he's an expert in forensics. He'll never be caught. Let's see if we can get some information on this. So apparently, let's give you some background. This guy, Tad Cummins, is a teacher, and it looks like he, quote-unquote, kidnapped a 15-year-old. Most likely, she's willingly gone with him, but it's still kidnapping, right, if you trick a 15-year-old into going with you. It's not like he put her in a cage. It doesn't seem like. It seems like, you know, he's one of those.
It's been exactly 2 weeks since they disappeared and very few new leads. We're also hearing this morning from the wife of the suspected kidnapper. In an exclusive statement to NBC News, Jill Cummins tells us, "Nobody understands the pain and the shock I am in now." She also had a message directly for her husband. She writes, "You know you can't."
This is the wife, by the way. This is not the mom of the kid. This is the wife going, "I'm in shock that my husband would do this. First of all, I've been cheated on with a 15-year-old. Second of all, my husband's gone, like, with her." If I were the wife, I'd be like, "Good, get arrested, you idiot."
"Can't hide forever. For your sake and for Beth's sake, please go to the police or please just drop Beth off somewhere safe. I know you are afraid, and I know there's a part of you that's really sorry. It's not too late." Now, also this morning, we're hearing for the very first time Elizabeth Thomas's voice. In an undated Facebook video, she's seen with her brother. They're sewing a flag. Let's go ahead and listen to how she sounds.
Okay. I don't know how this is going to help us, but let's listen to how she sounds.
You can do a video right here, and then you... Do you want to start from the back or do you want to start from the front?
No, they did not publish video of her saying that after being kidnapped by a 50-year-old man. I cannot believe this.
Investigators
are also telling NBC News exclusively...
Sorry. I did not notice that before. God damn it. They make it too easy. Anyway, all right, let's see if there's any more video. This video of the sister saying something sad about her other missing sister.
"That I just want her found, and that bullying could cause real issues in someone's life."
Elizabeth is a freshman at Kolioka.
Did she say bullying can cause mental issues?
"Bullying could cause real issues in someone's life."
Elizabeth is a freshman at Kolioka High School. Tad Cummins, her former health teacher. Sarah, Elizabeth's 17-year-old sister, says she would often find Elizabeth in his classroom.
"But we went to his classroom a whole bunch because, I don't know, that's where all the other kids went. So, and that's where my sister was, and she's my best friend, so I just went with her."
Are they retarded? Maybe she's a little retarded. Not this. Maybe the other sister's a little retarded, which is why this guy hit on her.
She, too, said Tad would share stories of being in the FBI and Secret Service.
"He was a weirdo."
Sarah says things got weird, though, for her sister after the allegations the two were seen kissing at school.
"She would say, like, I gotta get out of here. Like, we gotta leave. We gotta get out of here."
So the teacher is basically going, "Elizabeth, tell your family that we gotta get out of here. We love each other, blah, blah, blah. You know the drill. I mean, I know the drill. Okay, I love you, something. We gotta run away. Society will never accept us."
Sarah says she tried to stop the other kids from bullying her, but it wasn't enough.
"And she would always tell me to try to make them stop, and I tried. Like, we brought it to the office. They didn't do anything. Like, I could only do so much."
After the Amber Alert was issued, Sarah says she struggles having to go to school each day without her sister.
"But the only thing I'm upset about is, like, sometimes you'll have a comment here and there, oh, I bet he's raping her. Oh, I bet, you know, he's hurting her."
Yeah, you think? I bet so. Oh, we got a lot of dropped frames going out. Sorry about that. Wow, it probably sounds awful on the stream. 13,186 dropped frames. When did that start? Haven't even been paying attention to that. I dropped the bit rate. Maybe that'll fix it. Okay. So, okay, this is not the end of the story, though. We've got some new information here. Tennessee teacher exchanging romantic... Wait.
Cummins was suspended after he was accused of kissing Thomas on school property.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the girl and the guy, blah, blah, blah. There's not much to talk about that. They got together, you know, kissed. They probably ran off. But there's some new information in that this isn't the first time he's done this. Shocker, 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 shocker.
The teacher who vanished into thin air with his 15-year-old student composed a creepy love song and sang it.
So we're actually going to hear some of his work. And he apparently is a songwriter and a very romantic man as well.
But Tad Cummins wasn't crooning to missing ninth grader Beth Thomas. Get this, he's actually singing to another student he was close to.
It was just me and Tad. We were in the music room. It was right next to his classroom. And I had learned a new song on the piano, and I was going to go show him. But he sat down first and played that song.
So this is another girl that clearly is not as attractive as the one he ran off with. So good job, Tad, I guess. And she's saying, I was in the music. I did not say that. I did not say that. My favorite girl is Cash Me Outside. My heart is only with Cash Me Outside, no one else. Don't worry.
And I started recording a little bit in.
Destiny Parrish, now 19, says Cummins became her confidant when she was about the same age as Beth.
Yeah, what a weirdo. So he keeps doing this. I think they just keep playing the same line over and over again. I'd really like to hear this whole song. If anyone can find it, I could not find it. I don't know how, you know, Inside Edition got a copy.
He had written.
You're the kind of one who made love for the rest of his life.
Did it appear as though he was playing it for you?
I didn't assume, but everything's so different now looking back.
Destiny.
Oh, he didn't even go, hey, this is a song for you. He's just like, listen to this song. And then he looked into her eyes and sang it.
His mom says there's only one way to interpret those lyrics.
I really didn't ever listen to the lyrics until the other day. And knowing now what he's doing, to me, he was singing to her.
What is it, like a movie where it all comes flashing back, except it was really obvious originally? Because all the words were already there. Oh, that's what he meant. He meant, my daughter is a woman that a man could love. Georgia family claims someone sorry, that was a weird transition. So anyway, keep your eyes out for Elizabeth. People named Elizabeth really love to get kidnapped when they're around 14 and 15, if you know what I mean. They're not very smart. The point is, keep your eye out for him. Maybe he'll return, and we'll see what happens. We're going to be keeping our eyes on that story. That's a good one. Family claims someone sprayed poison on their kid's slide. In Georgia, a family is demanding answers after their home surveillance camera captured what they say is someone spraying poison on their son's outdoor slide. Kathleen Petka and her husband Jeff never thought twice about leaving their son's toy in front of their house. You can think you can leave your toys outside and they'd be safe, but after they found a substance on their 2.5-year-old son's slide, they believe someone left poison on it. He can get sick and you have no idea if he was poisoned or something. Surveillance video that the family gave to the county police shows someone at the slide early Thursday morning. The person stands in front of it, reaches into a pocket, and appears to leave something on it, like he's spraying it with poison. It's just a sick person. I have no idea. The suspect's shoes may have had traces of the poison on them as well because the footprints left behind killed the grass, which is odd. Like, if I'm a poisoner, how is that, like, say I've got some Roundup or something and I want to put it on the kid's slide. How is that getting on my shoes? What, am I standing in a lake of Roundup to get it, to gather it? I don't know. For something to basically almost burn the kill the grass that quick would have to be some sort of poisonous substance. Neighbors in the quiet community have shared information on social media and are taking steps to stay vigilant. So be watching out for men spraying your slides. Okay, is this the end of the show? Justin Bieber, man arrested after sending epilepsy texts. We have hit 7:02 a.m., which puts us an hour in. Do you guys want to know about Los? Okay, so couple other things that happened this week. Las Vegas had a gunman. Let's see. Actually, you know what? Let's check on this one, because this was not bad. Las Vegas Strip reopens after gunman surrenders. Authorities say a Montana man was shot and killed on the Las Vegas bus before the gunman barricaded himself in the bus, shutting down the Strip for hours. So if the Strip is shut down, what do you do? Can you even travel? Authorities say a Montana man was shot and killed on the Las Vegas bus before a gunman barricaded himself in the vehicle. The coroner's office identified the victim, blah, blah, blah. Police haven't released information on the suspect. So, who surrendered peacefully after a standoff inside the double-decker bus that lasted 4 hours. So, yeah, shoot a guy in a bus and then stay in it for a bit. Also in the news, teen confesses to lying about three black men gang raping her. An 18-year-old Texas woman's...
An 18-year-old woman's claim that she was kidnapped and sexually assaulted was all a hoax. Brianna Harmon-Talbot said three black men were responsible. Police found her partially dressed at a church where she confessed she staged the whole thing. Talbot also...
Yeah, but why? It doesn't say why. She walked into a church wearing only a shirt, bra, and underwear. She appeared to be bleeding from several cuts. And did she stay out like past her curfew? And she's like, the only way I'm getting out of this is if I fake a kidnapping. Once the police began investigating the alleged crime scene and Talbot underwent a medical examination, her story quickly fell apart. When questioned about inconsistencies, she allegedly confessed that she staged the entire incident, including her own injuries. She faces charges of making a false report. All right. Do we have any uplifting news that is worth reading? Waiter's act of kindness goes viral. What is this? Let's see. Woman with Huntington's disease has trouble eating, so a waiter steps in to help. For the past 11 years, Joe Thomas has walked into work at IHOP in Springfield, Illinois, with a spring in his step. No, 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 no. A hop in his step, you idiot. And a smile on his face. He knows all of his regulars by name, and since the 43-year-old waiter doesn't have any children of his own, he treats any little ones that come into the restaurant like relatives. It's something customers have come to expect. Boring. So what? He was nice to a customer? That's very fascinating. All right. This has been News with Nick for March 30th, 2017. This weekend, we are going to be getting a big storm again. It's very, very upsetting. Any other news? I can head on over to news.google and see if we got anything breaking. Is there anything else I needed to mention? No. Horse penis. Michael Irvin. Nope. Okay. This should be good. All right. Thank you for coming out. And thank you for joining the PCL. And stay tuned for the next episode of PukeInTheGang.com is the show's name. Bye.